Today's presentation is an encore presentation. Any dates or events mentioned in the program have already occurred. Joining me by phone this morning, Ellen McLattery. She's a member of Messiah Lutheran Church in Danville, California, a mom, a wife, and she's got a beautiful story to share. Ellen, welcome to Faith and Family today.
Thank you for having me.
It's good to have you with us this morning. I'm looking forward to sharing your story, which recently appeared on the Lutheran Witness blog online. If you go to blogs.lcms.org, you can find Ellen's story on there among many other great stories. But when I read this story, first of all, I had to get out the tissues, but then I realized, man, this is a story that I really wanted to share here on Faith and Family. Let's share the story of the McLattery family. Tell us about your family, how you met your husband, and the little bit of the history of your family.
Sure. So I am a nurse. I'm a NICU nurse, and I live in California and took a travel nursing assignment in Michigan to spend some time with my extended family. And while I was in Michigan, I met my husband, and we dated for a few months while I was in Michigan, and then I came back to California, and we dated long distance for a little bit, and then he followed me out here, and we got married on the one-year anniversary of our first date.
Aww.
And we have a beautiful daughter named Emmeline, who is 3.5, and then when she was about 1.5 years old, we learned we were expecting again, and we were thrilled and so excited, and at our 12-week ultrasound, we got the news that the baby looked like it might have something wrong with it.
Hmm.
So that was understandably really devastating.
Yeah.
And we really wrestled with, do we do further testing? Do we not do further testing? We met with our wonderful pastor, Pastor Ledick from Messiah, and just prayed and talked and wrestled with the decision. I think coming from a pro-life background, I'd always thought, oh, well, there's a risk with a miscarriage with an amniocentesis. I would never do that. But really in talking with our perinatologist, the high-risk pregnancy doctor, that technology has really changed over the years. Mm-hmm. Ultrasound is so much better than it used to be. That he said that he's done thousands of amnios and never had a miscarriage as a result.
Wow.
So we felt comfortable proceeding with the amnio after wrestling with it for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
So at 16 weeks along, we did the amnio, and at that ultrasound, the doctor said that he saw some more markers consistent with Down syndrome. So we waited, and about 10 days later, we got a phone call from a genetic counselor letting us know that the baby did in fact have Down syndrome. We found out it was a little boy.
You mentioned that before you were weren't even sure if you wanted to do further tests to find out. I imagine that would be a struggle, because on one hand, I'm sure you want to know, is there something I can do to help this child? And you just want to know so you can start planning too. What can I do to help this child?
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Along the way, were you ever faced with the question, whether it be by others outside your family or those providing medical care for you, were you faced with the question, do you want to terminate your pregnancy?
Absolutely. I think we were very lucky in that I work with a lot of these, mm-hmm. my doctors, being a NICU nurse. So
sure.
I think that I don't know if I had a different relationship with them than another person may have, just, you know, coming off the street. But I was very clear from the start that my husband and I wanted this information for planning purposes.
Mm-hmm.
As a NICU nurse, I know that it's nice to have a plan in place for high-risk pregnancies and for deliveries.
Mm-hmm.
But I said from the start, you know, this isn't because we would consider terminating the pregnancy, but because we just want information. And so even though I was very clear with the doctor and the genetic counselor prior to the amnio, and when I got the phone call, the genetic counselor gave me the option to interrupt the pregnancy, which I thought was an interesting euphemism.
Mm.
And, you know, I said, no, that's not something we would consider. And I really didn't get the question much thereafter. I talked to other moms who really got a lot of pressure saying, well, this is the best option, and you don't want to bring a child like this into the world. And we didn't face that, and we have very wonderfully supportive family and friends who share our worldview, and that nobody suggested this would be a good thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, your article, you made a great point. You know, as you bring it up now, you know, what is the best thing to do? Should you bring a child into the world who has Down syndrome or any other kind of difficulty, any other challenges or something that's going to be a hardship for him or her throughout life? And I love how you responded to that. I love your response to that. You know, if none of us were going to face, you know, if none of us should face suffering, then, well, none of us should even be born.
Yes, that's exactly my take on it. I think there are no guarantees in this life, and everybody faces challenges and difficulties. And I'm so thankful for a faith that tells me there's a reason for those difficulties, that it's for a purpose. And I think it's really arrogant to say the challenges of Down syndrome are so great that it's not worthy of living life. So,
but this child doesn't deserve to live because he faces so many difficulties. That is so arrogant for us to say that.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting. Most studies show that people with Down syndrome are very happy with their lives, that they like their appearance, they really enjoy their family and their friendships. And so I think really what it comes down to is parents are very afraid, and I really can relate to that. When we got the news, I was terrified and devastated, and but I don't have any personal experience with people with Down syndrome. I don't know if I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think that people kind of couch it in, well, this is what's best for the child, but I feel like a lot of times that's maybe a little disingenuous or not being honest with themselves. That really, it's very scary as a parent, and people think that they aren't cut out for it.
So what did you do once you learned that your baby had Down syndrome, it was confirmed through the tests that your baby had Down syndrome, that your son had Down syndrome, and you were fully intent on and being his mom, being his parents, and carrying him to term. How then did you start to prepare for that?
Well, we cried a lot and prayed a lot, and there are some great books out there. I connected with some people online who have kids with Down syndrome. I happen to have a dear childhood friend who has a son with Down syndrome, so I called her that night, and she actually said, oh, I wish everybody could have a baby with Down syndrome. And it wasn't what I was really ready to hear that night, I have to say, but since then I've really come to appreciate what she had to say, and I've gotten to meet her son, Liam, and she lived across the country but actually just moved to California, so... definitely connecting with people, getting more information. And really, you know, we grieved for a long time that Samuel wouldn't be typical. And he also had heart defects and some other health issues. So we knew that that was coming, and we knew we were going to be facing open heart surgery. So it was a difficult year from the time of diagnosis to post open heart surgery, certainly. But.
Mm. Now, how soon after birth did he go in for, did he go into surgery?
He had about a week in the NICU when he was first born, and then his surgery was when he was between 3 and 4 months old. And then he ended up developing another heart issue that he had another open heart surgery right after his first birthday.
Wow. So... From before he was born, you knew that this was going to be difficult. You knew that there would be challenges, that there would be some suffering along the way. How did your husband handle the news when you found out that your son had Down syndrome, and how did he prepare for this?
He was wonderful. He was very concerned about me and how I was doing. He certainly had his own fears and questions as well, but I think the Lord was gracious in that we were able to handle that together and process that together. I think it was similar for him, you know, reading information, talking with people. He was teaching music at the time and happened to have a student who was older and had a son with Down syndrome. So, you know, you just find these little connections mm-hmm. along the way that I think are very encouraging.
How about the rest of your family, your extended family? How have they been a part of receiving the news and learning and growing and preparing for the challenges you would face?
You know, it was difficult news for everyone. I think that some people were able to respond in the moment a little better than others in terms of, you know, sharing their own feelings of disappointment or shock or grief. But overall, everybody has been so supportive. And now that Samuel's here, everybody loves him so much. He's just, you know, everybody's joy. So we're grateful. We're so grateful that we have families who share our faith and share our outlook on mm-hmm. life matters.
What were the things that you were afraid of, you were worried about before he was born, and how have those been addressed now that he's born and been through the surgeries? What were some of the things that you feared beforehand, and how do you see them now?
Wow, there were a lot of fears. I don't even know where to start with those. There were so many. You know, first of all, this worry that was he going to live, you know, with the heart defects and open heart surgeries. And so, you know, I think it was in some ways almost hard for me to fully bond with him while I was pregnant. And then even those first few months, I loved him tremendously, but there was this fear of, are we going to have him for a long time, or is he, you know, going to not make it through the surgery, or how will this play out? And just really having to trust that God has all of our days numbered, and that, you know, he would just give us the grace to walk the path that he set before us. So I think, you know, first of all, the fear of would he live, and then also, what would his life be like? Would he be able to read and, you know, function in this world? And how would society, you know, embrace our son or not? And I think that we've come such a long way in terms of understanding Down syndrome. And there are so many more therapies and tools available now to help people with Down syndrome reach their potential. They're in mainstream classrooms with AIDS, and people with Down syndrome are doing wonderful things. There are even some colleges that have post-secondary school opportunities for people with Down syndrome. So it's an exciting time, really, to live with Down syndrome, in terms of they used to just be put in institutions or shut off from society, and it's not the case now.
Your son is very much so a part of your family. Now tell us about, you mentioned you have a daughter as well.
Yes.
Tell us about the relationship between your daughter and your son.
Emmeline is just a little spitfire. She's got so much personality and so much energy, and she absolutely adores her brother. I have been saying since he was born that, you know, probably his biggest risk in this life is being smothered by Emmeline out of love. So she has loved him from day one, and you know, at 3.5, she doesn't really see the differences yet. Samuel is very delayed. He's 19 months old, and he doesn't crawl. He doesn't stand. He doesn't walk. He just sits if placed in sitting. You know, two open-heart surgeries certainly have compounded his delays. So to Emmy, he's just still a little baby, really, because he's not running around and chasing her, stealing her toys yet. But
soon enough.
Yes. She is fiercely proud of him and protective of him. And we haven't even really had the conversation with her yet about Down syndrome or what that is, because mm-hmm. she just doesn't even see it yet.
Sure. Well, you said Samuel's 18 months old now?
19.
Yeah. 19. Wow. Yeah. I have a son about the same age.
Okay.
So, yeah. So we were going through all of those different stages probably pretty close.
Yeah.
Wow. And that's probably why your story was it hit home for me is, you know, just those questions that come up during pregnancy and the what ifs and how will I do this? I think for me as a new parent, how am I going to, you know, am I going to be a good dad? Am I going to do these things that I want to do? Or, you know, I want to be a faithful parent and do all the things that God has given me to do, and I want to do them well. So many questions that we face as parents. And then not only do you have those, then you add the questions that come up with something that you've never faced before. As you mentioned, you didn't know personally someone with Down syndrome or who had had any experience with that. And I can't imagine the questions and challenges, but it sounds like all those questions and challenges are being answered. And it sounds like in a very positive way, as you're learning about the resources and so many things that can be helpful to you and your son, your whole family. You're right. We've come a long way in terms of resources to help, including education. Not too long ago, I learned about Concordia University, Wisconsin, and Bethesda communities, Bethesda Lutheran communities. They've partnered together, and they have Bethesda College of Applied Learning for individuals with developmental disabilities. So you're right. The day after day, there are more opportunities coming available, and it's great to hear.
Yeah, it's very exciting.
Where do we go from here? What does day-to-day life look like with Sammy?
Well, it's a lot of appointments and therapies. Mm-hmm. He, as I said, is quite delayed. Really, even for Down syndrome, I think the two open heart surgeries certainly contribute to that. But he has physical therapy twice a week. He has occupational therapy. He has speech therapy. He has a little bit of an oral aversion where he doesn't want to eat food. So we're looking at possibly a feeding tube in the near future. So there are a lot of health issues, and individuals with Down syndrome don't always have so many health issues, but they certainly are at risk for a lot of them. Mm-hmm. So he's been in the hospital with pneumonia and ER trips for croup, and he certainly has a lot of medical appointments. So I think for now it's kind of getting him through these early years where hopefully we can address a lot of these health concerns so that he's able to live a full and happy life. We're just kind of trying to take it day by day. So I think about, what will school be like and where will he go to school? And I have to kind of stop and say, you know what, today we're going to think about his physical therapy exercises and what can we do to help him, you know, start growing. So trying to take it day by day.
Taking just one day at a time instead of letting a whole bunch of days pile up on you at once, huh?
Exactly.
When you meet someone, when you meet a new parent or someone who's expecting and they have questions, you know, what would be your words of perhaps encouragement to someone who may find themselves in the situation you were in, learning during the pregnancy that something isn't necessarily happening as planned, that perhaps something different is going on, that their child may have an illness, a disease, or a condition, something that's going to make life different than it would be for, as you said, a typical child?
I think that I would want to say that it's okay to grieve. Mm-hmm. I think that people can sometimes feel like if I acknowledge the grief that I don't love my child, and that's just not true. But, you know, when you find out that you're expecting, you have all of these hopes and dreams for your child, and it really is putting aside the dreams that you thought you had, and you're grieving that, and then coming to find new hopes and dreams for your child. And that takes time. It takes quite a bit of time for some people. And then I think for Down syndrome specifically, I think something that somebody said to me that I just really clung to when I was pregnant was she told me, you know, when I look at my son, I don't see Down syndrome, I see my son. And I just cried when she told me that, because I think that there really was that fear that all I would see was Down syndrome. And, you know, I think for sometimes people from the outside looking in, when they see Samuel, they see Down syndrome. They don't know him. They don't know anything else about him.
Mm-hmm.
But once you get to know him, it's just a small piece of who he is. It's not defining or all-encompassing. So I think, you know, for somebody who were to receive a Down syndrome diagnosis or any other challenging piece of news about a baby they were expecting, just that that's not the whole picture, and that's not who your baby is. It's a piece of what's happening, but there's so much more than just a medical issue or a condition or, you know, whatever's going on.
Tell us about Samuel's personality that's developing and growing. Tell us about Samuel, who this whole person is.
He is such a happy little guy. He loves music. He loves, he just kind of sits and bops to music, which is adorable. And he has a great sense of humor. He just loves to laugh. And he definitely is happy to sit and take things in and watch. I think, honestly, some of his developmental delays are that he's just so happy to just sit and take things in that he's not motivated to try to crawl, because he'd rather just sit in my lap. But he loves people. He loves his dog. He's just a happy little guy.
When I hear a story like this, John chapter 9 comes to mind. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him."
I love that passage. And, I remember reading it and appreciating it before Samuel, but it really does take on more significance to me now, and it's so encouraging that this isn't something random that happened, that it's not something that we caused. It's just part of God's perfect plan.
That in him God might be displayed.
That's right.
Ellen, what a beautiful story. Thank you so much for sharing your story today. Thanks to your family for making arrangements so that that you could be on the phone today. I know that you all have a lot going on with all the therapy that Sammy attends to, and so I appreciate all the help from your whole family today so that we could share your story. Thanks so much.
Thank you for inviting me.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.